Blog Talk Radio.
John, and we have Dr. Suzanne here, and Brother Noam is also with us. We do thank you for tuning in. For those that are on the internet, we pray that that this is a blessing to you. And for those who are would like to call in, okay, the number is 347-237-4054. That's 2347. I'm like I'm tongue-tied here. 347-237-4054. That's the number to call in. This is We Are New Beginnings Ministry. This is a New Beginnings Ministry Bible discussion. And we open our lines so that as we go through Scripture, that you can be a blessing to others as well as those that are here. As we just look at Scripture and see what the Spirit is saying to you. So we do invite you to call in and share what that says to the Lord in your spirit. Right now we'd like to have prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity, Heavenly Father, just to be able to share the good news, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are allowing us to be on one accord, Heavenly Father, in one spirit. Father, we love you, and we thank you for all that you do. Father, we pray a blessing for those, Heavenly Father, who are going through financial difficulties. We pray, Heavenly Father, for an increase, Heavenly Father. We also pray for those, Heavenly Father, who are having illness, some type of illness, or those, Heavenly Father, who have fallen short, or whatever they may be going through. Father, Lord, we come against that in the name of Jesus. We ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would just give increase, that you would bless, Heavenly Father, above and beyond anyone's imagination. And Lord, Father, we ask that you would bless this Bible discussion, Heavenly Father, that as we continue to minister your word, Heavenly Father, that it would just bubble up, Heavenly Father, the joy would bubble up in the spirits of those, Heavenly Father, who are listening and those who are discussing the word together. Lord, Father, we just come together as one, giving you the praise, giving you the honor, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right now we are discussing Kingdom Battle. My God, my God, my God, Kingdom Battle.
And this is the first of a series for us. There'll be three talks on Kingdom Battle. It's such and even with the three talks, there's no way that we could exhaust this topic, but we feel that with three talks and with your input, listeners, that we'll have a valuable teaching here.
Amen. Amen. What we do, for those of you who joined us for the first time, we just basically go through Scripture, we read the Scripture, and we just discuss what that Scripture means to us. And it's amazing how the Scripture, we can look at the Scripture one time, and it can mean one thing, and then we can look over it again and have a different meaning. So, you know, it's just amazing just how God works, you know, through the Scriptures and through the Word. You see, the Word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path.
Amen.
So I just see that as we continue to grow in the Word, that light becomes brighter, and it just gives us a better focus of the road or the path that God has placed us on.
Amen.
As we start off, our first question is, what is kingdom battle? What is kingdom battle? And if you could just digest that and just think about it, to you, what is the kingdom battle?
The kingdom battle is the battle between good and evil,
mm-hmm.
God versus Satan, the God's heavenly angels and Satan's
mm-hmm.
angels.
Amen.
Battling for us over the earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the kingdom battle is. And there's a scripture if you want to look at it.
Sure.
Actually, I have two. Revelation 12:7. Revelation 12,
mm-hmm.
verse 7.
Revelation 12, verse 7?
Yes, Revelation 12, verse 7.
Okay.
Then there was war in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Michael and the angels, under his command, fought the dragon and his host of fallen angels.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it's Revelation 12, verse 7. And this verse is telling us about how in the heavenly that Michael was battling for us. So we talk about whatever is done on earth is done in heaven, whatever is blessed on earth is blessed in heaven, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an example of that. Then in the heavenly, there was the battling going on, which of course would affect what goes on in the earthly realm.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at 2 Kings 6, verse 8 to 23. That's 2 Kings chapter 6,
mm-hmm.
verses 8 to 23. But when Elisha the prophet, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. Okay, what? When the king of Syria was at war with Israel, he said to his officers, "We will mobilize our forces at," and he named the place.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, Elijah warned the king of Israel, "Don't go near," naming the same place, "for the Syrians are planning to mobilize their troops there." The king sent out a scout to see if Elijah was right, and sure enough, he had saved him from disaster. This happened several times. The king of Syria was puzzled. He called together his officers and demanded, "Which of you is a traitor who has been informing the king of Israel about my plan?" "It's not us, sir," one of the officers replied. "Elisha the prophet tells the king of Israel, 'Even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. Go and find out where he is, and we'll send troops to seize him,' the king exclaimed. And the report came back, 'Elisha is at Dothan.' So one night the king of Syria sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. And when the prophet's servant got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. 'Alas, my master, what shall we do now?' he cried out to Elisha. 'Don't be afraid,' Elijah told him, 'for our army is bigger than theirs.' And Elijah prayed, 'Lord, open his eyes and let him see.' And the Lord opened the young man's eyes so that he could see horses of fire and chariots of fire everywhere upon the mountain. As the Syrian army advanced upon them, Elijah prayed, "Lord, please let them blind, make them blind." And he did. Then Elijah went out and told them, "You've come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. Follow me, and I will take you to the man you're looking for." And he led them to Syria. And as soon as they arrived, Elijah prayed, "Lord, now open their eyes and let them see." And the Lord did, and they discovered that they were in Syria, the capital city of Israel. Mm-hmm. And when the king of Israel saw them, he shouted to Elijah, "Oh, sir, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" "Of course not," Elijah told him. "Do we kill prisoners of war? Give them food and drink and send them home again." Mm-hmm. So the king made a great feast for them and then sent them home to their king. And after that, the Syrian raiders stayed away from the land of Israel. But this story, these passages were to show us that Elijah was getting his information, of course, from the Lord, but that in the heavenlies, the battle was being fought in the heavenlies. And even with us, we have our ministering and warring angels around us that are fighting on our behalf in the heavenlies.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So when we look at what is the kingdom battle, you know, I kind of look at where it's Ephesians 6:12. If we can take a minute and just look at that, Ephesians 6:12. Excuse me, I'm sorry. My throat is a little dry.
Okay.
Ephesians 6:12. We're going to give you listeners an opportunity to locate it as well. We don't want to move too fast. We did get a comment from one of our callers that sometimes we kind of rush through the Bible or scriptures a little bit too fast. So we look to make sure that we're all on the same page at the same time. At Ephesians 6:12. Okay, and as we look at that, it talks about the armor of God. And as we look at it in terms of a kingdom battle, we have to remember in 10 it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." And then in 12, it just talks of, it gives us encouragement. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Meaning that when I look at the kingdom, what is the kingdom battle? Those are spiritual forces that are evil, that are in the heavenly realms, that are coming against us, being that we are children of God. So we're always going to be challenged. We're always going to be challenged when we try to do what God wants us to do. When we try to be obedient to the Word of God, we're always going to be challenged. There are always going to be things that's going to come against us. We can't see it, but it's there.
We also talk about preparation, and these are powers that are much greater than we are.
Mm-hmm.
And to put on the full armor of God,
mm-hmm.
so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. Without that full armor of God, you wouldn't have a chance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 We also going to ask that, you know, any callers, if you would like to share in terms of what is the kingdom battle, if you would like to share that, you know, we do have a couple of callers that I'm looking at right now. 631, would you like to share at this time? What is the kingdom battle?
No, not at this time.
Okay. Moving on, in terms of the kingdom battle, when we get into scripture, and this is a pretty long scripture, and they talk about understanding what God says about kingdom battle. And the first scripture that it's asking us to look at is Luke 4, 14 through 32. Luke 4, 14 through 32. Four, 14 to 32? Yes.
I'll read that when
everybody's ready. Okay. Okay, hopefully all callers, callers and listeners, you are at Luke 4, and we're going to read Luke 4, 14 through 32.
Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in the synagogue, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor."
Amen.
Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him.
Mm-hmm.
He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious word that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote the proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'You hear in your hometown what we have heard, that you said in Capernaum. Thank you. Truly I tell you," he continued, "prophets are not accepted in their hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel and leprosy in the time of Elijah, the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman, the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up and drove him out of the town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built,
mm-hmm.
in order to throw him off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
But he walked right through the crowd and went on his own way.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus drives out the evil spirit. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee,
mm-hmm.
on the Sabbath day. He taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority.
Mm-hmm. That. His words had authority. Yeah, and we, and again, you know, we just basically, we're talking about the kingdom battle. The kingdom battle. And when I look at that, you know, in terms of the challenges, even Jesus went through the battle. And there's something that, you know, that I want to share that, you know, that when we're looking at in terms of the kingdom battle, you know, we're looking at really Satan or the adversary. And when we look at that, it's given a descriptive name in Scripture. Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that's located in Luke 11:15. The devil and the tempter, that's in Matthew 1:3. A murderer and the father of lies, John 8:44. The prince of this world, which is in John 12:31 and 14:30. The ruler of the kingdom of the air, which is in Ephesians 2:2. The evil one, 1 John 2:14. And the accuser of our brothers, which is in Revelations 12:10. Revelations 22 identifies him with two additional names, the dragon and that ancient serpent with the devil or Satan. And my scripture, it goes on to talk, it says, we need to look at what Satan does. Scripture consistently portrays him as being hostile to God and his purposes and shrewdly distorting the truth in order to tempt and deceive believers. Our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8. His methods are cunning. He masquerades as an angel of light, while his servants disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. That's in 2 Corinthians 11:14 through 15. Believers therefore are exhorted to take their stand against the devil's schemes in Ephesians 6:11, and to avoid his traps, which is in 1 Timothy 3:7. Clearly, Satan possesses a measure of power in this world. When he has tempted Jesus, Satan had the authority to offer him all of the kingdom of the world, which is in Luke 4:6. Satan used the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, 1 John 12:16. In his temptations of Adam and Eve, of Jesus, and the believers in the past and present, the fallen angel has been a major factor in history and in the misery of countless generations of humanity. In this role, he continually works against God's purposes. Therefore, he continually works against leaders who strive to fulfill God's purpose. In short, if you're a godly leader, Satan is your worst enemy. Many leaders want to do good. They believe that their power and positions are trust from God. They want to fulfill their commission and be proud of their organization. But the more we know of Satan and his opposition and the things that he do in opposition of whatever God wants, the more strongly we are led to a sobering conclusion. Any leader who wants to honor God has a powerful, ruthless enemy opposer against anything that he desires. But the good news is God is still in control. We must never lose of the fact that even when adverse circumstances discourage people within your organization and disappoint you, God promises that if you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given unto him. That's in James 1:5. The leader who commits to doing what God calls good must learn to depend upon God and help against the enemy of God. Scripture clearly affirms that in spite of his great power, Satan will ultimately be overthrown by God and cast into the lake of burning sulfur. That's in Revelations 20:10. Satan may be strong, but God is an invincible ally.
Amen.
I just thought to share that in terms of talking about the battle, you know, it's just the enemy, that Satan, that's the adversary, you know, who is trying to kill, steal, and destroy anything that we try to do that is of God.
And speaking of God, you know, and our armor, the greater power,
mm-hmm.
you know, we also want to be careful about, you know, things that we say, you know, like, I can't accomplish this, I'm not capable of this, what our pleasures are, because the devil is listening to them, those weaknesses, and using those against you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you stay focused on God.
Amen.
And His will.
Amen.
One of the things that can look for that we see is that when Jesus was in Nazareth and in his home with his people, that they listened to him, they thought it was profound, they liked what he was saying, but then they also looked at him as Joseph's son. Isn't that Joseph's son?
Yeah.
And I've heard theologians say, it's like saying, I remember when he was just a baby. I remember when he got a towel. I remember when, who does he think he is doing that? And speaking in this way with such, you know, with such authority or command in front of us. And so Jesus shakes the dust from his feet. And he goes on to Capernaum, and it says that he said the same thing. And that instead of them rejecting him, how they received it and accepted the authority and truly listened and valued what Jesus Christ was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So what? Not only do we see in those verses the social and the natural reactions of people that in your own hometown or with your own people, sometimes it's difficult to minister. Sometimes people that if you go outside of your home, they'll receive you quicker and easier. But you also see the spiritual, and that is in the beginning that you see a difference in the principalities that were over those two cities, that the principalities were different. And so I believe that's what the Lord also wanted us to see in this in these scriptures, that that over different areas there's different principalities.
Mm-hmm.
And so
Amen.
When we go to minister in those areas, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you and tell you how to minister in
that's
those
right.
in different in different realms, different circumstances,
mm-hmm.
we're taking authority over particular principalities.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Amen.
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 Amen. Any of our callers would like to make a comment in reference to what we've discussed?
Amen.
Also, I
would
say that, you know, often when I find ourselves in situations and circumstances in which we're able to spread the gospel, and we have to be prepared. Just the other day, a couple of years ago, I was in the gap, and when the sales clerks, you know, I was just looking around, you know, young guy, probably about 20, 21, by the age of my daughter, and he struck up a very profound conversation with asking me questions, you know. The interesting thing, he let me come over to me, and we talked about God, and I found myself, you know, discussing the gospel with him, and, you know, choices, you know, arming yourself against negative influences, how to avoid that, and making positive choices that a Christian would make.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was just an odd, you know, circumstance. He just, you know, randomly let me to come and have a conversation with him while he's working, you know.
That wasn't by accident.
No, it was meant to be.
Amen.
And I point that out to him. Really, God directed you to have this conversation with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's just what we're supposed to be doing overall, you know, that, you know, just spreading the gospel, preaching the good news. And then sometimes, you know, it's not even about preaching. It's just being kind. You know, just being kind to somebody. You never know what someone is going through or how they have been tempted, you know, in any type of way in their lives or just how they're feeling spiritually. And God may just have us walking in a certain direction or a path or at a place at a certain time, and just so we can bless that person or we can give them, you know, encouragement some kind of way.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And we'd be very cognizant of think very carefully about what we say. The tongue is a very powerful tool. It can cause destruction and it can cause growth. But be careful about what we say and what we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to call ourselves a Christian. Mm-hmm. And we're going to spread the gospel. True gospel. Not falsehood and hypocrisy.
So the tongue is a two-edged sword, you know. We can either build someone up or we can tear them down just by what we say. And sometimes it's kind of hard to come back and say, you know, I'm sorry, you know, or we got to watch our tongue. It's slow to speak.
Slow to anger.
Slow to anger. Amen. Ah, my goodness. Well, there's just so much in this, in Luke, you know, 14:32, you know, you know, that Suzanne had already, you know, touched on in terms of Jesus in his hometown, and they wouldn't accept it. Mm-hmm. And I think about in terms of when we begin to start to preach in our own environments, how we are received, you know,
mm-hmm.
our daughter, our son, our brother, you know, mm-hmm. our sister, cousin, how we are received.
Mm-hmm.
And our own neighbors, how we are received. Those that have been knowing us for a long time,
mm-hmm.
you know, truly believing that we have sold out to Jesus Christ, you know, and we are speaking to the news. We don't see that, you know, and in the scripture, you know, even with Jesus in his hometown, they didn't accept him. They didn't accept him. Amen. Amen.
There are some who were thirsty for the knowledge, mm-hmm. and they will seek you out, mm-hmm. as in that situation I just described.
Mm-hmm.
If he clearly saw something in me, or the Lord directed him to have this conversation, and he was thirsty enough to actually sit there and you know, listen and ask questions about life choices, associates who could bring you down, people who could bring you up, spirituality of you know, positive people, doing God's will,
mm-hmm.
not yours.
As we look at this scripture, you know, I kind of, another thing that strikes me with this scripture, when we look at that even though at the time they was about ready to throw Jesus off the cliff, you know, to me that just, you know, that was hostility. You know, there was anger, you know, to throw him off the cliff. And yet Jesus, rather than throw him off the cliff, Jesus just walked through the crowd. Nobody tried to stop him.
But you know what, another thing, though, if you go back in Luke, remember Satan had tried to tempt Jesus and dare him to jump off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And said, you won't be
hurt.
You know, you.
Prove you're
the Son of God. Prove that you're divine. You know, just jump off the cliff. You don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And so here are these people again.
Right back to the cliff. Huh?
Right back to the cliff. So it tells you who was out that principality that was over that area.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes to the cliff, but notice Jesus just turns and walks away. See, sometimes you in everyday life and in the natural, you have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to know what you're battling against.
That's good.
The Lord doesn't call you to war against any and everything. Sometimes
right.
you just have to walk away. And just like Jesus had told the disciples in Acts, I believe it is, in Acts 1, that that he wanted them to go out and preach the gospel and share the good news, but they were to wait for the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're supposed to do, too. Sometimes we go out and jump into things and want to go into deliverance mode and take authority over things. And sure, there's certain things you're supposed to take authority over,
mm-hmm.
and there's a way that you're supposed to pray, and we should pray with authority and pray with gusto and pray with confidence. But, like, you're not supposed to lay hands on just anybody and pray for just anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the Holy Spirit will not direct you to do that.
That's right.
So we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and know what God has called us to do. And sometimes we believe that in doing good things that it must be God.
Mm-hmm.
But God doesn't call. There are certain assignments for Brother John. There's assignments for Brother North. And there are assignments for me and each one of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit on what they are.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just jump and go do John's job because I'm a Christian and that's something that I should do. That's not my gifting, number one. But number two, the Holy Spirit hasn't called me to that.
Mm-hmm.
not called me to that. So we have to know when. And I love the fact that in the Bible, especially in the Living Bible, they took him to the cliff to throw him off. And it says that Jesus just turned around and walked through the crowd, back through the crowd, away from the cliff. As if, and it made me think of that he could just, that he had that kind of control that he could go through the crowd, through this violent, angry crowd. Who were so upset with him, and remember, all of them were upset, that he could just turn around and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to debate with them. He's not going to talk to them. But the fact that he had so much, that there was so much power around him, that it allowed him to walk through the crowd or walk away. Mm-hmm. Amen.
You think of David and Goliath. You know, David was Goliath, he fought armies. And this little boy, you're going to fight me? And David, his take is, it's not a problem. I got this little rock here, and I got God. And I'm doing God's will. So anyway, I'll prevail. Under normal thinking, a person would say, well, this person is clearly outmatched me. He fought armies, and I'm just, 100 pounds, and I'll be slaughtered, But he felt, he had a higher power, behind him, and that was the Lord, So he knew he was going to prevail.
And on that note, when I think about it, even for us as well as the listeners, speaking of, you start looking at in terms of David, as small as he was, we are small also, but we are also powerful. We're also powerful. And realizing that no matter what we're going through, no matter what you're going through, that we will prevail if we allow God to fight our battles. It doesn't make a difference what the obstacle is. If there's an illness, if there's finances, if there is problems, wherever they may be, God wants all of us to know that if we learn to depend on him,
mm-hmm.
and not worry about that problem that we look at big and God looks at small, if we don't look at that problem or entertain it, we just walk away almost with a cliff. If we walk away from that situation and allow God to take care of it with the faith of knowing that God is going to handle it, I truly believe that the victory ends up to be in our favor.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants us to have that type of attitude, that type of belief, that we walk by faith and not by sight.
As a Christian, we want to be Christ-like, and we want to do what, Christ did.
Mm-hmm.
We want to try to follow his example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Again, for those that are listening, we are New Beginnings Ministries. This is New Beginnings Ministry Bible Discussion. Meaning that if you would like to join in on the discussion, then we would like to hear from you. We do invite you to be a part of this, to share, and if you want to just listen in, I mean, that's okay also. We're all being blessed. We're all being blessed at this time. If you want to call in and you're listening and you have something to share, the telephone number is 347-237-4054. 347-237-4054. You call in, and we can just click you right on in, and you can just be a blessing. Be a blessing. We are on the Kingdom Battle, and we're just discussing Luke, and we're going to move on over into Matthew. Matthew 11:12. We'll give you opportunity to locate that in the Bible so that we can all read it and share it and be on one accord. I'm sorry, Dr. Suzanne, did you want to share anything else in Luke? Is there anything else that you wanted to go? Kingdom battle. What is your kingdom battle?
Matthew 11:12 reads, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force."
Could you read that again, please?
"And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." I'm going to read it in the Living Bible also.
Mm-hmm.
"And from the time John the Baptist began preaching and baptizing until now, ardent multitudes have been crowding toward the kingdom of heaven."
When I look at that, that scripture, and it says, "From the days of John the Baptist," to me, that, speaking of the days that's when John began to start preaching at that time, from the days of John the Baptist, that was the time that he was preaching. Until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And when I look at that was the time that the multitude began, to start to hear the preaching. And when they came at that time, because there were so many and they were trying to get there so fast, it was almost as if they were trying to take it by force, take heaven by force. They were hearing the word of God, they were hearing the good news, and they began to move in. And you know how crowds are. Sometimes they are not organized, folks are, pushing others out of the way, trying to be, first in line, but, and when I see that, it's they were trying to take it by force.
Now, we're talking about in the spiritual realm, the taking by force,
mm-hmm.
that the kingdom of heaven, and we've got to remember, too, that the violence that they're talking about, that's an Old Testament, King James, translation of the word, but I think that the Living Bible gives the word that lends itself a little bit better, and I'm sure that the exhaustive text would go further. But the word ardent, it says that from the time John the Baptist began preaching and baptizing until now, ardent multitudes have been crowding toward the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So ardent means passionate, feeling great passion or felt very passionately, enthusiastic, feeling of showing great enthusiasm or eagerness, glowing, shining, or glowing brightly with a fiery quality, zealous, eager, devoted, dedicated, committed. Oh, boy. So I think that pretty much tells us these folks were on fire for Jesus, on fire for the things of God, on fire for what they had. And so Jesus is saying from the time of John the Baptist, it didn't start with him. It started with John the Baptist. And that until now, that these crowds have been pushing, wanting to know more and more about the kingdom of God. And that in the heavenlies, that they're making their way in, that they're in the heavenlies, that they're like at the gate, pressing in. And we think of like Brother John was saying, that when we have crowds, in fact, that thing is, there was a crowd, what do you call it, like with the animals, like a stampede of people that were just pushing in, and they just trampled over people. But the force of thousands and thousands and thousands of people, imagine that, pressing heaven, pressing the gate, saying, I just feel so intense. I'm so passionate. I vow my love for the kingdom of heaven. I receive you, Jesus, Jesus Christ. And they're glowing, and they're so enthusiastic and eager to get to the kingdom of heaven, to push in, to press in. And that's the way we're supposed to be in the natural for the spiritual thing, to press into the word, to press in. And like Brother John has said before, you can read a scripture, and the Lord will reveal one thing, but as you become more and more mature and taking meat, spiritual meat instead of spiritual milk, those words begin to mean something totally different, or the Lord builds on what you already know. It's like we say in education, it's scaffolding. Mm-hmm. It's scaffolding. Like on a building, we may build the first floor. You can't build the 10th floor before you build the first floor. Mm-hmm. So we build the first floor and the foundation, and then we build up. Well, it's the same with the Word of God, that you get the foundation in, and then we build on it. It's build on it, line upon line. Then we're growing up. In the Word, that we're going up in the Word. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And that's good to know. That, you know, as you're talking, you know, and you said that, I think about, you know, those who have been called to preach the gospel. And, you know, something was in my spirit that sometimes we may feel that no one is listening or no one wants to hear. But as we continue to preach the good news, as we continue to preach the Word of God, that what's going to happen is, just from this scripture, is people are going to be pressing in, trying to get to you just to hear a word from the Lord. And when I think about that, my spirit says that people are looking, coming in, because they're seeking salvation. Mm-hmm. They're seeking salvation. So they're pressing in to hear the word of God that you have to share. So if God has laid it on your heart to minister the word of God, I'm just here to tell you now that, you know, that it may appear like it's dark, you know, but light is about ready to overtake the dark. And those people who are ready to come into the fold are going to be pressing to hear what you have to say. But for you to basically help them to seek salvation. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Okay. We are in Matthew. That's Matthew 11:12. Again, if anyone would like to share, please don't hesitate to bless us with what the Lord has said to you, or spoken to you. The number call is 347-237-4054, and you would be connected in. Okay, moving on. We are at Matthew 11:12. I think heaven stuff is my. I just read it. It just came to me. Colossians 2:13-15. That's Colossians 2:13-15. Colossians 2:13-15. Amen. 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 Colossians 2:13-15. And we're going to give each and every one of you an opportunity to locate that in the Bible. And that, and when you look at, looking for Colossians, Colossians is right after Philippians. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Colossians 2:13-15. Amen.
And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having given you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in him. I want to read the Living Bible Version. You were dead in sins, and your sinful desires were not yet cut away.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gave you a share in the very life of Christ, for he forgave all your sins and blotted out the charges proved against you, the list of his commandments which you had not obeyed. He took this list of sins and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. In this way, God took away Satan's power to accuse you of sin, and God openly displayed to the whole world Christ's triumph at the cross, where your sins were all taken away.
Hmm.
Amen.
When you were dead in your sins, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature.
So when you were spiritually dead, in sin, uncircumcised, unforgiven, not even seeking forgiveness, Jesus still was willing to sacrifice for you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And all of your ugliness, and all of the sin, he still loved you. He still loved me. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And I think that that's what we need to remember when we talk about the kingdom battle, is that the battle is won. The battle is won. Like they say, you turn to the last chapter of the book and we win. But it's going through the pages, like any story. At the beginning you have the characters, and then you find out what the plot is and what the conflict is. And then there's resolution in the conflict, to the conflict, and that's where Revelation, well, basically the New Testament comes into play, and then Revelation ends it. But for us, we need to remember that the name of Jesus and the power in the name of Jesus, that he could take, that Jesus Christ could take our sins and nailed him to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
That he was able to do that. No one else was able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It was the final sacrifice. It was the end. The end. This is the covenant, this is the new covenant that we're under. And Jesus Christ did that for us. So in his name, we can take authority over things.
Amen.
In his name.
Amen.
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 I like the, when I look at this, I look at 14, having canceled the written code with his regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. You know, when I look at that, take a step, there was a judgment against us. You know, you talk about in terms of, you know, Jesus being nailed to the cross, that judgment that was against us, but God just forgave us.
Forgave us
for our sins.
Forgave us for our sins. And that's another important piece that we need to remember is forgiveness. When we talk about going out to preach and deliverance, if you are in unforgiveness, if you have any unforgiveness, you need to seek forgiveness. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to offer forgiveness. The Lord's the ultimate sacrifice is a life. It's a life. You can't, like we said one other time, you can't be God-given. Forgive. He wants us to forgive one another and be in relationship with one another, to be in community with Him, with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in community with one another as believers, saints of God. Take care of one another, to pray for one another.
We have a job to do. Let's pray without ceasing.
Yes, that's right.
Pray without ceasing. Always looking toward God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Another piece of, also is having this arm, the power and authority, having this arm, the powers and authority. That's Colossians. We're in Colossians 2. And I'm looking at 2:15. Having this arm, the powers and authority. And when I look at that, having this arm, the powers and authority, I think about in terms of us and what we go through. You know, not having to worry about anything that is coming against us. You know, where the word says that no weapons that are formed against us shall prosper. Shall prosper. And here it says, having this on the powers and authority. So anything that is coming against us that is not of God, that when we put our faith and our trust in God, that He disarms all of that. He disarms all of that so that it will not harm us. So that it will not harm us. So we don't have to, in fact, it's a sin to even worry. When we worry about anything, that's a sin. What God is saying, because if you're worrying about something, then you have not put it in my hands.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have given me the authority. You have acknowledged me as the authority to be able to disarm it. You know, you don't believe I can do it.
Or accept His will.
Or accept it.
Accept it. It may be His will.
Amen.
So, do you accept His will, or are you willing to accept His power that you will prevail?
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, if you do what God wants, you will prevail.
Mm-hmm.
Not that person who is against you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you shouldn't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, we're supposed to forgive them too. We're supposed to forgive them, even if you haven't done anything to warrant forgiveness. You still forgive them and release them to the Lord, because the Lord, He doesn't want to lose not one of us.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of us. And sometimes we forget that even here on earth, that our natural people that may come against us or whatever, they're still God's children too. And that if we release them, the Lord may be able to save them, send someone else to witness them, and bring them into the kingdom. Because we have to remember, just like this chapter or the expression we're talking about, principalities and powers, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers. But you don't know what principality or what that person has been dealing with. We don't know the background of that person. So one of the most difficult things that we have to do in the natural is that when someone offends you, is to let them go and forgive. That's a challenge.
That's all the challenges with tested and everything. As far as the woman who was caught in an act of adultery, and the town folks, bore her to him and said, this is what she's done. The law says she can be stoned. What should we do? Mm-hmm. Well, they already knew what the law was. They wanted him, they were testing him. So what should we do? And his response was, well, he could stone that for him and said, the vow without sin, cast the first stone. And basically, no one can pick up a stone to, see what we're doing to her. But they were really testing him, if you were full of forgiveness and mercy, then why did you allow this to happen? And, why did you break the law, But he's being tested in that respect. But he says, thou without sin cast the first stone.
And then the ultimate act of forgiveness was when Jesus was on the cross. And before he gave up his life, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They know not what they do. And it was after that that many of them realized, yes, he was the Christ. He was the Christ. That he gave himself a step. They remembered Abraham and Isaac and the sacrifice that the Lord had given his own son. He had given himself as a sacrifice, the final sacrifice in the new covenant.
So that tells me that it doesn't make a difference what someone does to us. How what they've said, what they've done, that we are to forgive them.
Stop looking at the natural. Stop looking at the natural. Look at the spiritual. The spirit.
God is, Jesus Christ is the model. We're supposed to follow that model. And if anything comes against us, Jesus didn't have a lot. He didn't have a lot to say. He just said, it is written.
Amen.
He didn't have a lot to say.
Amen.
It is written. Doesn't sound that powerful, but it is. The Word of God is powerful when we use it. When we use it, so everything that we say that comes out of our mouth is the Word of God. And the more we begin to use those words that God has embedded in us, has deposited in our spirit, the more that we begin to use that, the more powerful we become in terms of speaking into the spirit of others. Hallelujah. Again, for those callers, we do thank you for tuning in. If you'd like to, join in on the discussion, 347-237-4054, and you'd be connected in. We would like to hear from you.
Your thoughts are very much valued and appreciated.
Amen. We're just having a wonderful discussion of the Word of God, and we do invite everyone to participate. And again, if you're just listening, that's beautiful also. We just thank you for tuning in and just being a part of this Bible discussion. And we just pray that this discussion, whatever is being said, is a blessing to you.
Thank you.
And that's all we want to do is just be a blessing. No matter where you are, no matter what your circumstances may be, we just want to be a blessing. You know, and when we come together, when we come together as one, under the body of Christ, it is a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 803-631, any of the numbers that we have, if you'd like to tune in, we are on Colossians 2:13-15. We've just completed just talking about the Word of God and how we were just talking about in terms of forgiveness, in terms of Jesus being the greatest model when he asked for forgiveness for those that nailed him to the cross. And that was the model of how we are supposed to be in our life.
That's it.
When Jesus does anything to us, whatever the case may be, in our spirits, we are to forgive.
That's
it. Forgive.
And I'd like to interject.
Please.
Please. This is so good, this discussion about forgiveness. My voice is so bad today, but if you can hear me, this is what Christ wants us to do, exemplify him in all manner, because it's a hard thing to do, to forgive somebody. But I remember my mother growing up, she used to say, you can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. And that's what God is saying, to love. Love covers a multitude of sin. And if somebody trespass against us, yes, we can pray and ask God to forgive them. And, you know, we're supposed to have the fruit of the Spirit anyway. That's that long-suffering in the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And forgiveness and faith. And faith knowing that if we pray for them, they will come. They will come to understand that forgiveness goes beyond what's right there. I'm not explaining. My voice is so bad. I want to just. But God is so good. And like I said, he wants us to exemplify. Jesus Christ wants us to exemplify his love.
Amen.
His love and forgiveness. For him to be on that cross and say, forgive them, because they know not what they do, and that's what we should do. Forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing.
Amen.
Looking beyond faults and seeing the need.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's one of the tests we face with every day, is just being able to forgive.
Yes.
But constantly, Christian people are constantly checking up, challenging us, confronting us.
But anyway, the ability to forgive remains constant.
Amen.
Amen. 631, we do thank you for for sharing that and blessing our spirits. By those words of encouragement. Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else like to share on forgiveness and? If you'd like to share, please just don't hesitate.
Yes, hello?
Yes, please.
I can speak now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I wanted to speak on, I was on a touchback where you were talking about the kingdom battle. And when Jesus died on the cross. Well, see, the enemy thought he had done something. He thought he had capitalized and won everything when Jesus died. But what he didn't know, God already had a plan. And so, for the thing about it, we all got to remember Jesus was he was human also. He's part human. And he was just demonstrating to show us that whatever we go through, we can go through it, we can pass it and do the same thing he did, because everything he did was for the love of God, and he was sent here for a purpose, and he did that. even all that he's went through. He said we will have trials and tribulation also. So when we are going through, it has to be a heart issue also. We got to have God's word in our heart, even though it gets into your mind. But if your heart is full of God's word, and you're doing God's will, then you, once it hit the mind, then you're not going to do it. You're going to do what thus say the Lord.
Yes.
But I just want to say I thank God for blessing me and blessing everybody throughout this world, because he's, like he said, we all have felt salt and sin.
Mm-hmm.
And as you talk about the woman that they caught saying she was a prostitute,
mm-hmm.
he was just showing them, that was the example, how to show how to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Like you all said, he said, he that have not sinned, throw the first stone.
Mm-hmm.
But then he told the lady in a simple way, okay, you're free, but don't sin again.
Okay.
So that's telling us the same thing. Hey, we can repent, but don't go and sin again. But
mm-hmm.
even though during our trials and tribulation, we got to be like a tree with its root grounded in his word.
All right.
Deep and grounded. So when the storm comes, whatever the situation is, how it feels, all we got to do is stand on his word.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because he's going to take care of us. Even though
yes.
we might not like the way it feels or how it looks, but when it's all over, he's going to walk us through that.
Yes.
It's your end. And I
Amen.
Thank God, and I thank you all, because I know that was once I was out in the street and didn't know anything about God, and I did everything, anything I wanted to do, so I didn't have any trouble, because the devil knew, so hey, we got him. So
mm-hmm.
I don't even worry about him.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that are affiliated with God, getting in touch with God spiritually, those are the ones he's trying to change his mind. And the higher you get on that level with your relationship with God, the more that enemy going to come after you in
yes,
some
sir.
Kind of way. He's going to attack. But we
yes,
just
sir.
Have to stand. And that's staying in part of the kingdom, if we stand upon his word. And that's the battle of the kingdom. When we stand upon his word, believe and trust in him, until we leave here, until we actually go to the real kingdom.
Yes,
so, because he said in his word, to be absent with God is to be present with him. So when you die, really,
mm-hmm.
I believe you think when I die, I'm still going to live again. I'm going
mm-hmm.
with God. So
mm-hmm.
this is what you got to believe and trust in, and you got to work on it, meditate, and read every day, and just trust and believe in the word. All you have to do, he set an example, left the book for us, to give us instructions what to go by and how to do and what to do. That's all we got
Amen.
To do, go by that instruction.
Amen.
And I just want to say thank you all, and have a blessed day.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
And I like what this brother just said about Jesus coming in human form. He was totally God, but yet he came in human form, letting us know that all that he went through and all that we go through, he's been
yes.
through it, and letting us know that we are overcomers.
Amen.
Because he's
Amen.
Overcomed.
Hallelujah.
So because he's overcome, we're overcomers too. And he's
Amen.
Letting us know that even though we're in the flesh, our spirit man is the overcomer of our flesh.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I like that, what that brother said. Yeah. Jesus came in human form, but he was truly, truly God, but just came as an example to let us know that we can do this.
Yes,
we
yes.
can do this thing.
We can do this.
We can do this.
Yes, claim it. We can do this. Hallelujah. 803, thank you for joining in and sharing that discussion. We're over here smiling and, rejoicing in the Lord right along with you.
You guys are great. Yeah, this is good.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When everybody, when we come together on one accord, God does miraculous things, so that we're talking here, and what we hear, there are those that are listening, and
mm-hmm.
we're speaking to their ear gate, and it's going to their spirit, and
yeah.
people being made. You know, that's what it's all about. It's about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. Thank you for those powerful words that you just gave to all of us. Thank you so much. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's kind of hard to move on. We're going to move on to Luke 16. You give me the opportunity to locate that scripture, Luke 16. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 16. Give me a few minutes to locate it, so we're all reading at the same time. So we have one of our supporters made to make sure that we slow down a little bit. Hallelujah. Isn't God good?
Amen. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God has been increased, and people are forcing their way into it. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and people are forcing their way into it. People are hearing the good news, and they're moving towards it. They like what they hear.
I'm going to read it from the Living Bible. I'm going to put it in context by reading or hearing the verses before and after. So I'm starting with the Living Bible, Luke 16, verse 15. Then he said to them, "Where a noble pride is expressed in public, but God knows your evil heart. Your pretense brings you honor from people, but it is an abomination in the sight of God. Until John the Baptist began to preach, the laws of Moses and the messages of the prophets were your guide. But John introduced the good news that the kingdom of God would soon come. And now, eager multitudes are pressing in. But that doesn't mean that the law has lost its force, in even the smallest form. It is as strong and unshakable as heaven and earth." So he was talking to the Pharisees, saying that because they knew the Old Testament, because they were supposed to be Old Testament scholars and the holy men, and everyone looked up to them, that they looked good, but their hearts weren't in the right place.
Right. So
you can look holy, have on your collar, and wear your, my brother used to say, wear your Baptist suit on Sunday, and you know, and carry the biggest Bible, but if your heart's not right, your heart's right, God knows it. God knows it. For me, you can look one way. You can look as if you're all right and perfect and be the perfect, look like you're the perfect picture of Christianity. But the Lord sees your heart. He sees your heart. And in this scripture, it talks about how up until John the Baptist, the Jews were supposed to be following the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were originally 613 individual laws that were brought down into 10. That came down to the Ten Commandments that the Lord gave them in love. And they even abused the Ten Commandments and didn't follow them and thought that they could offer continue to offer sacrifices and pay money and do different things in order to cover their sins, and it did not cover their sins.
Wow.
It didn't cover their sins. They were trying to prostitute the things of God. Things of God. And so Jesus called them out on it. And Jesus sent us to John the Baptist, who brought the good news that this good news and this new covenant doesn't call for the sacrifices and the paying to the temple and to the and to honoring it and to giving your confession to the priest and dealing with the Pharisees. That in the new, in the good news and in the new covenant, that they could go to Christ, that they could go to the Lord, that they could hear and receive and receive on their own this Jesus Christ and this new covenant and this new good news and the kingdom of God was something that was attainable for each and every person.
That's not just a select few.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
So looking at the heart, Jesus said he wants all or nothing. All or nothing. We cannot settle the sin. Can't settle the sin. Can't have both worlds.
That's right.
You can choose one or the other. My God, my God. When I look at that, in terms of the law, we talk about in terms of how people are seeking to hear the good news. People are seeking to hear the good news.
Mm-hmm.
People are seeking to hear the good news.
Yes, they are.
And we're the ones who are spreading it, preaching it. We're the ones. Like my brother said, it's about the heart. It's about the heart. God looks at our heart. That's what he looks at. That's what he judges. That's what man can't see. But God sees it. God knows our heart. Amen, amen. Anyone like to comment on that? 574-631-803. Any of the out-of-state callers? Amen.
I think Sister Suzanne summed it up.
Praise the Lord. We're going to move on into Acts 14:21-22.
Hello.
Our last scripture. Well, time goes by fast when you're having a good time in the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
You want to say something? I heard a hello.
Yes.
Praise God.
Call us, please.
Please.
You have something you want to share, please.
Hello?
We can hear you.
Yes, okay. I just wanted to reflect on what the pastor just said about being on one accord. And that's what we all are. We're part of a tree. I'm just using that for example. We're a tree. It's like the branches. And we all have a part to play.
Yes,
and so, like God said, we need to come together on one accord. So it's just like when they was in the upper room when they the day of the Pentecost, he said they were all on one accord, and when they was all on one accord, and then so the Holy Spirit came in like a whirlwind, and changed, and everything changed, and it was about God, but they all was on one accord. So whenever we turn and get on one accord, like the staff to say, a lot of things will change.
Mm-hmm.
The devil know he only has a short time here, and his time is up, and he's going to try to take as many people as he can with him. So, but when we come on one accord, just like the pastor say, then it'll be great.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
That is so true. Being on one accord.
Yes.
Being like-minded, like-spirited.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That is right.
That's what God wants us to do.
Okay, thank you.
Relationship to be in community, to be in fellowship with one another in one accord, supporting one another in a safe community, safe relationship.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sir, my brother, that's so correct. You know, one accord, that's so important. So important.
One accord power.
Yes. Yeah. You know where that power comes from?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
When two or three are agreeing, there is power.
There I am. Amen.
So,
amen. We're going to move on into Acts 14:21-22. We'll give you a few minutes to get there. Acts 14:21-22. I'm looking at the time, and we're going to try to get this last in. Well, this has truly been a blessing to all of you who have shared in, and even those of you that are listening. You have been a blessing to all of us, not just here, but all those who are participating at this time, from 7 o'clock to 8:30 or whatever time that you came in. You have been a blessing. Thank you. You feel your spirit, even though you're not saying anything. Acts 14:21, Brother Mom.
You have to read. They preached the gospel in that city, and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. In 23:12, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust.
Amen. Isn't that amazing? You know, we look at in terms of just preaching the gospel. When God has laid it on our hearts to be able to go about and share the gospel. And here, even though that they were in danger, they chose to come back.
Mm-hmm.
They were being persecuted and stoned, and yet they, in the face of the danger, they returned just to preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Just to preach the gospel. And that's a message for us, that if we're going to preach the gospel, we don't worry about the obstacles or anything that's going on. We don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone like to share? We have about one more minute before we have to close out. Anyone like to share? Anyone, any of the callers? Dangers of preaching the gospel. It says, we must go through hardship to enter the kingdom of God. I want to say that again. We must go through hardship to enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We thank you so much for being a part of this New Beginnings Bible study discussion. You've been a blessing, those who are listening and those who have participated. We do invite you again next Wednesday. We have this every Wednesday from 7 o'clock.
In a crowded room.
Oh, thank you so much. But God loves you more. Hallelujah.
It's so hard to love.